Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So if next week is the first Sunday in Advent, what does that make this week? The last Sunday of the church year. The last Sunday in our liturgical calendar. This Sunday is also known as the Sunday of Fulfillment. One of the great blessings of our Christian faith is that we already know the ending, the fulfillment of the one true story of life. God fulfilled his promise to save us from our sins through his Son's death and resurrection. It's done, it's finished, as Christ declared from the cross. But we're still waiting, aren't we? We're still waiting for the ultimate benefit of this fulfilled promise when God will take us to be with him on the day of Christ's glorious return as both judge of the living and the dead, and as the one who inaugurates the resurrection of our bodies to eternal life. We're still waiting. We know that one day Jesus will return. That's a certain reality. And on that great day, everything we know will come to an end and be changed. One second you're eating a meal, or driving a car, or at work, and the next you'll see Jesus in all his glory. Can't imagine. On that day, all people who have died will be resurrected and reunited with their spirits. And on that day, all who believe in Jesus will receive that glorious inheritance of a life forever with God and everlasting peace and joy. In the 1970s, there was a detective series named Columbo. Remember that? I'm dating myself. 70s. Do you remember how each episode started? Each episode started with a crime being committed, and you knew who was guilty right from the start. Now, you'd think that that would pretty much spoil the rest of the show. But what kept each episode interesting was watching that main character fill in the details. Everybody thought Detective Columbo was a fool, bumbling fool. But he never failed to figure out who committed the crime and also get that person to confess. Well, just like that TV series, we already know how things are going to turn out. We know that the great and final day is coming, and we know who is coming. We just don't know when. So here's where Columbo's signature line fits in well. Does anybody remember what his signature line is? Just one more thing. I can still remember him walking away from his window, and the person's just getting ready to go, and he's, oh! Just one more thing. We live in anticipation of one more thing, of Christ's return. And while we wait, like Columbo, we're often thought fools to believe that one true story. Just as Jesus was mocked in our gospel reading, we're mocked by people. And the mocking is getting louder. How can you believe Jesus is coming back? It's been so long. Who is this Jesus guy after all? You should just enjoy life, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. People may not speak these words, but they demonstrate that this is what they believe by the way they live and the priorities they set. And it just gets worse and worse. And perhaps the greatest mocker of our faith is death. When we die, our lungs stop breathing and our hearts stop beating. And death says, I'm it. I'm all you have to look forward to. I'm going to take you away from everything you love and want and hope for. I'm going to claim every one of you sooner or later. That's a certainty. And where's your Jesus? You know, even the strongest Christians struggle with this mocking. Pastor Glenn Nielsen tells of a Christian woman in one of his congregations named Joy. She was only 61 years old, but had battled liver cancer for almost 18 months. And she openly shared her faith and her hope in Jesus with all who came to her home, but As her cancer progressed, the cancer took more and more of her strength away. In the last 3 days of her life, she slept most of the time, barely conscious. And her family was with her, comforted her by telling her it was okay to go to be with Jesus, that she didn't need to fight for every breath. But at one point, she woke up briefly and whispered two words. I'm scared. She believed in Christ. All her life she had held on to Jesus and his strength and peace. But as the end drew near, death's ugly voice caught her ear and mocked her faith. Jesus knew all about mocking. We heard about that in our gospel reading. The words of that sign that was above his head was intended as mockery, ridiculing him as a king. But ironically, of course, those words were true, truer than probably any other words. Jesus is the King of the Jews. In fact, the King of all people and all creation. But he certainly didn't look like much of a king at that moment. In the soldiers' minds, Jesus was, well, he was just another criminal to crucify. They simply had a job to do, and that was it. So a little gambling under the cross gave them some diversion, and to pass the time, they mocked him, had some fun at his expense, ridiculing him as a king who couldn't even save himself. And we heard about those Jewish leaders who also stood near, smug and confident. The fear of what this mad prophet might cause the people to do turned to boldness. This would-be king wasn't so dangerous after all. This Jesus that they saw was weak and pathetic, a fraud who claimed to be the Christ. And so they mocked their chosen one because he wouldn't save himself. And there were at least two others who mocked Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, we read that at first, both criminals being crucified mocked him. But in Luke, we hear just one speak out against him, and his words showed the contempt in his heart. He was defiant and he was angry as he joined in with all the others. But Luke's gospel records a sudden reversal by the second criminal. He was broken and beaten, both in body and spirit. And he knew that he was lost and condemned, getting what justice deserved, demanded. And as he neared death, his honest realization and confession of this fact left him with only one hope. As he watched Jesus and how he responded, that criminal, by faith, saw the one true story. Where others saw only a failed and fallen man, he saw the Messiah. I don't know if we realize what an incredible act of faith it was for that criminal to place himself into the outstretched arms of Christ. He was seeing Jesus at his worst, in his moment of complete humiliation and torment. And yet, by grace, he was able to see Jesus as the only one who could save him. And in seeing this, he threw himself on the mercy of God, all for the sake of this beaten and bleeding Jesus. He received more than he could imagine. Paradise. Jesus answered that criminal's request. He gave him paradise by turning the mockery of the sign nailed to the top of the cross into a sign announcing the reality which all must believe. You see, no mockery can take the truth of who Jesus is away. On the cross, the criminal sees the sign, "This is the King of the Jews," and he believes. See, that sign wasn't ridicule. It was the title of the one true story. Jesus is the King who saves us, because not because he could not, but because he would not save himself. And 3 days later, the women who had watched Jesus die were the first ones to see him fulfill his promise to rise again as he mocked death. The grave was empty. It couldn't hold him. Instead, he destroyed the power of death over us. And now death is swallowed up in victory. For Jesus rose from the dead, and so will we. That's his promise. On that day, he will silence all who have ever spoken ill of him. All mockery will die away as every knee bows to the King of Kings. Knowing who the killer was at the beginning of Columbo didn't spoil the show, because what made the show interesting was seeing how he figured it out, how he caught the bad guy. And knowing that our story, how our story really ends, allows us to truly see life until he returns in an entirely different light. See, all the bad guys, even the baddest bad guy, have been defeated. And now the prayer of that criminal on the cross is our prayer. Lord, remember me in your kingdom. See, we hear the words of promise of paradise given and of the final resurrection to come in our baptism. As that water is poured and the words are spoken, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, we become a child of God, an heir of heaven. When we, like that criminal, admit that we are broken and helpless, saying words like, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you, we hear the words of the promise of paradise given and of final resurrection to come as we hear at the command of Christ, and by his authority, you are forgiven of all your sins. And we hear the words of the promise of paradise given and of the final resurrection to come at this altar. As you kneel and receive a bit of bread and a sip of wine with the words, take and eat, take and drink. This is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. These are his words of the promise of paradise given and of the final resurrection to come for you. After Joy's death, the church was filled, and as people signed the guest register, they saw a little testimony and the final words that Joy wanted others to hear. In that testimony, she highlighted this verse from Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then she wrote out her favorite Bible verse, Isaiah 26. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And the last words on that sheet were, it will give me great joy to know that I can see many of you in heaven as we walk the golden streets together. Joy is now in paradise with the criminal who hung beside Jesus and with everyone else who has died believing in him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And like us, they too are waiting. They're waiting for the final chapter of this true story to be written. Because one day, Jesus will return, and all the souls in paradise will be rejoined with their bodies, and those who believe will stand before Jesus in perfect peace and joy, and we will enter into his kingdom forever and fully. We know the end of the story. But until then, we keep praying just as the criminal did. Lord, remember me in your kingdom. That prayer is answered by Jesus, who says to you, you will be with me in paradise. So until that day, we live in eager hope and confidence for the resurrection and the life of an eternal kingdom with him, with Jesus, our King. Amen.